Alrighty. So once again, my name is Gercha. I'm with a nonprofit called the San Diego Food System Alliance. And today I'll be talking about the issue of food waste and what the food waste landscape looks like in the city of Poway. But mainly I want to provide you all with some strategies, tips, and tricks for how you can reduce and prevent food waste at home. So I want to start off with talking about the scale of the issue of food waste at a national level. In the United States, this is our pie chart. About 40% of all food that is produced for our consumption goes to waste. And when we think of food waste, some images that might come to mind might include banana peels or avocado skins. But the reality is that the majority of this food waste, like Jill was mentioning, is actually perfectly edible food. Some reasons that food might get wasted might include it gets left on the shelf, it goes spoiled. We could have prevented that food from getting spoiled. We could have used it sooner. Some other examples might be at an institutional level, where grocery stores have to have their produce meet specific cosmetic standards. So certain items like wonky carrots might get tossed. There are many other reasons that food might get wasted within our system, not only at the kind of food system level, but also within our own households. So I did some research using CalRecycle's data on their last waste characterization audit that they did in 2014 to get some estimates of the quantity of food that's being wasted in the city of Poway. So I looked at commercial and residential food waste in Poway and found that it's estimated that about 18.4 million pounds of food are wasted every year in the city. It's kind of hard to visualize what that might look like, so I tried to do some conversions to put it into a little bit more understandable terms. So that 18.4 million pounds of food waste is equal to about 76 million McDonald's hamburgers. Or another way to think about it, 1,400 male African bush elephants. As you can see, those elephants are pretty large and hefty. So this is about the weight equivalent of that food waste in this city. So the reason that food waste is such a major issue is because when we waste food, we waste all of the resources that went into producing that food. We waste environmental resources like land and water. About 20% of all fresh water in the United States is used to grow food that goes to waste. We waste economic resources. Think about the money that you spent on that basket of strawberries that then gets rotten in your fridge and you have to toss out. And there's also some social resources. Think about all the labor that goes into producing food that gets wasted. The good news is that there are several strategies to reduce and prevent food waste at the source. And this is why we developed the Save the Food San Diego campaign, which is really chock full of all these different tools and resources. I quickly want to highlight the fact that research has found that prevention of food waste actually has a greenhouse gas emission reduction potential 8 times greater than composting. So really the highest and best strategy in use to attacking this issue of food waste is to prevent food from going to waste in the first place. Of course, there will be items like the banana peels that need to get composted. And of course, composting and the anaerobic digestion facility is then the best option so that we can avoid that food going to the landfill. But I'm really going to focus on prevention and reduction strategies. So we have kind of 4 suites of strategies that we provide folks with. And I just want to highlight this poster that was actually published in 1917 that actually has several of the same strategies that we are still teaching today. So just to highlight the fact that these are tried and tested strategies, and also maybe reflecting on the fact that historically these strategies were much more a part of our culture, of our knowledge. Maybe as the food system has become more industrialized, more focused on efficiency and convenience, we might have lost some of these kind of traditions and historical knowledge. So just wanted to put that out there as maybe a point of reflection. So I'm going to start with some smart shopping tips. Just a quick note, with all of these slides, I have a lot of strategies listed. I'm just going to cover a few of them, but please do read through all of them and let me know when we get into our questions section if you have any other questions on what I haven't covered. So when it comes to smart shopping, the first thing to keep in mind is that grocery stores are literally designed to tempt us in every aisle. The ultimate goal of a grocery store is to make money. And how do they make money? By getting you to buy more products. So keep that in mind when you're grocery shopping. There might be deals that are looking really sexy, but in reality, if you end up over purchasing and tossing away half of that food that you purchased, was it really a good deal? Another couple of strategies I want to highlight on there that are my personal favorites are shopping the bulk bins as well as tapping the salad bar. Oftentimes in a recipe, it might call for like a half a cup of broccoli, for example. If you don't feel like buying a whole head and figuring out what you're going to do with the rest of that head of broccoli, check out the salad bar and see if there's some broccoli there, and you can get exactly the quantity that you need. And this same strategy applies to bulk bins. And the last thing I'll highlight on this slide is understanding date labels. So there's a lot of misconception and confusion around date labels. Most of us probably think of date labels as expiration dates. We might assume that they are regulated. They're not. Date labels are not federally regulated for food safety. Date labels are put onto food products by manufacturers. And most of the time, they really just refer to food's quality and not safety. The only food items that are federally regulated for food safety is baby food and baby formula. So take date labels with a grain of salt and use your best judgment. Next, I'll cover some zero-waste cooking techniques. The first on this list is swap this for that. There's a lot of ingredient swaps that you can implement in recipes. My favorite example of this is buttermilk. If you're making pancakes and it calls for buttermilk, you can actually replace buttermilk with regular milk mixed with a little bit of lemon juice or vinegar. It's a perfect replacement for that ingredient. There's several other examples of this. So if you find that you're making a recipe and you're gonna have to buy something that you probably won't use a half gallon of, for example, like with buttermilk, take a look online and see if there are some easy ingredient swaps. A couple other things I'll highlight on here are cooking from root to leaf and cooking from snout to tail, or in other words, full product utilization. I have some great recipe examples highlighted up here, like a carrot top pesto, a broccoli stem fried rice. You can also use your leftover white or brown rice from your Chinese takeout to cook that up. And then finally, save your scraps or your bones to make really healthy and nutritious bone broths or vegetable broths. Next up is meal planning. So meal planning is essentially coming up with a plan for the meals that you'll be eating for the next few days or the next week. One thing that I want to mention when folks meal plan is oftentimes people get a little carried away with making sure that there's something for each meal. I highly recommend being realistic and allowing yourself a couple meals where you'll either go out to eat or maybe you'll eat leftovers. Just allow yourself a couple nights of spontaneity. On that note, a great thing to do to prolong the life of your leftovers is to freeze them. So think of the freezer like a pause button for your food. The last thing I'll highlight on here is the Eat Me First shelf. This is a great strategy. You can section a portion of your fridge. Maybe it's a shelf, maybe it's a box that you put in there, and put a little Eat Me First label on it. Put any food into that shelf that is about to go bad, but it's not quite spoiled, so that you can prioritize using that food. For me, I live in a home with quite a few other roommates, and this is a great strategy where if I know I'm not going to be able to use something up quickly, I put it in there so that one of my roommates can use it. And the last suite of strategies is around proper food storage. This is something that we're never really taught. There are actually correct ways to store food, but whoever teaches us those? So I really want to highlight the fact that proper storage can really prolong the shelf life of common pantry items. And I'll just highlight a couple on the screen. So cilantro is best stored like you would store flowers, in a jar of water in the fridge. Strawberries are actually best stored in Tupperware in between layers of paper towel. So the paper towel absorbs excess moisture, and moisture is really what causes bacteria growth and mold. Whole grain flours and nuts are best stored in the freezer. The reason for that is because these items have a high fat content. And if they're left out on the counter, in room temperature for a long time, that fat can go rancid. So specifically for long-term storage, if you buy your nuts in bulk, keep them in the freezer. Mm-hmm. Apples are best stored in the fridge. It's actually estimated that apples ripen 6 to 10 times faster on the counter. So store them in the fridge for longer shelf life. Butter, this is kind of a trick question. You can, of course, store butter in your fridge, but you can actually store butter reserves in your freezer. So if you're like me and you shop at Costco and you get 12 sticks of butter at a time, stick the majority of those in your freezer. And finally, milk. This is probably one of the largest misconceptions about where to properly store your milk. Do not put it in the fridge door. This is actually the warmest section of your fridge because there's draft every time you open that fridge door. The best place to store your milk is inside your fridge, towards the back. The back of your fridge is the coldest section of your fridge. So I wanted to highlight a couple other resources and ways that you can get involved. I have some websites up there that have great recipes as well as other produce storage guides. I also will say that I brought a ton of handouts, some produce storage guides, some fridge storage guides, date label, demystified sheet, lots of great stuff. So please do check out the resource table. Another thing you can do beyond just having an impact within your home and preventing food waste is asking your local businesses, ask your favorite restaurant or your favorite grocery store, what are they doing to reduce food waste in their operation? Are they donating their excess food to a food recovery organization? Just inquiring with your favorite businesses is really going to be able to make a systems level change. On that note, you can also volunteer at a food bank. We have two great food banks in San Diego, Feeding San Diego and the San Diego Food Bank, and they recover excess food from grocery stores and from other retailers and then donate that food to those in need. And then finally, I'll just put a little bit of a plug for a webpage on the Alliance's website. Buying local and seasonal produce is really buying food that is optimized to be freshest for that season. So if you think about it that way, that food is actually really going to be best suited to stay the longest, the freshest within the season that you're purchasing it. So we have some great resources for how to find local seasonal produce at that link at sdfsa.org/buylocal.